Okay, ready to dive into a Supreme Court case?
Always.
This one is all about rules, but, not the fun kind of rules.
Right.
More like the kind that can make or break a business, maybe even an entire industry.
Definitely.
We're talking about NLRB v. Wyman Gordon,
Ah, a classic.
a case that honestly had a massive impact on how government agencies make and enforce rules.
Huge impact. Couldn't agree more.
And you know what? You really dug deep on this
I
one.
did.
I mean, you've got legal briefs, articles, even a biography of Justice Douglas in here.
It's fascinating stuff. Really gets into the
It
weeds.
does. So our mission today, to find out if Wyman Gordon really tipped the scales of power. What do you think?
Well, what I find fascinating about Wyman Gordon is how it goes right to the heart of, well, the tension between following the letter of the law versus achieving a just outcome.
Because sometimes they're not the same thing,
Right,
right?
absolutely not.
So, to set the scene, we're going back to 1966. A union election is happening at the Wyman Gordon Company. Pretty standard stuff, right? You've got
Yeah.
workers, you've got a union, they're going to vote.
Seems straightforward enough.
But here's where things get interesting. The National Labor Relations Board, the NLRB, demands that Wyman Gordon hand over a list of their employees' names and addresses to the union.
And I'm guessing Wyman Gordon wasn't thrilled about this.
They were not thrilled.
Shock him.
They flat out refused.
Yeah.
And they didn't just say no. They challenged the NLRB's power to even make that demand.
Old move.
Right. I mean, taking on a federal agency like that. So this refusal all boils down to the Excelsior Rule. Am I right?
You are. This is where things get juicy.
Okay, so what is this Excelsior Rule? Lay it on us.
Well, the Excelsior Rule, it was created by the NLRB. They were trying to make union elections, well, fairer, at least in theory.
Okay.
They wanted to give unions a way to reach out to employees before a vote. Sounds reasonable, maybe.
Yeah, on the surface. But something tells me the way they went about it wasn't quite so smooth.
Oh, you're right on the money there. Because that's exactly what landed everybody in court.
So, what was so controversial about how the NLRB created this rule? Did they just announce it one day?
Pretty much. They just kind of dropped it.
Really?
Yeah. And they didn't follow the typical process, the one outlined in the Administrative Procedure Act.
The APA, like
Right.
the law that's supposed to keep agencies in check.
Precisely. It's supposed to give the public a say in the rules that affect them. But, well, the NLRB just kind of declared this rule during another case.
No public comment, period. No nothing.
Nope. And that raised a huge, huge question. Can agencies just bypass these formal steps whenever they feel like it? Or do they have to play by the same rule as everyone else?
What a power move.
Yeah.
So, did this whole thing go straight to the Supreme Court?
It was a bit of a journey.
Oh.
The NLRB won in district court, but then they lost in the First Circuit.
Oh, so back and forth.
Yep, until finally it landed at the Supreme Court, and everyone was, kind of holding their breath to see what they would decide.
So, what happened? Spill the tea.
The court sided with the NLRB.
Really?
Yeah. In a 5-3 decision, the majority, led by Justice Fortas, they basically said, look, fair elections are so important, they outweigh any procedural nitpicking.
Wait a minute. Are you saying the rule was okay just because it was supposed to make elections fairer? What about the APA? Those checks and balances are there for a reason.
Oh, the dissent definitely had something to say about that.
I bet they did. Weren't they worried about a slippery slope?
Absolutely. Justice Douglas, in his dissent, he was furious.
Rightfully so.
He argued that letting agencies bypass this formal rulemaking could lead to them, and I quote, playing fast and loose with the rules.
Douglas always did have a way with words. So he was basically saying this sets dangerous precedent.
Exactly. He saw it as a huge threat to individual rights. I mean, if agencies can just bypass the rules whenever they want, what's stopping them from abusing their power?
Right. What's stopping them from just doing whatever they please?
Douglas believed in those formal processes for a reason. They protect the public, and they make sure everything is done out in the open.
So it's like transparency versus efficiency,
Yeah,
right?
you could say that.
It makes you think, what would our world even look like if agencies could just operate without any checks and balances?
It's a chilling thought, isn't it?
Chilly. But wait, wasn't there another opinion?
Oh, right.
Ugh.
Justice Black, he actually agreed with the NLRB.
He did. Why?
He saw this as a legitimate use of adjudication.
Adjudication. Remind me what that is again.
Basically, deciding things on a case-by-case basis. Sometimes a rule just doesn't quite fit the situation, you know?
Yeah, I get it.
Black felt that agencies need that flexibility to be truly fair, to really address the nuances of each case.
Okay, so Black was all about practicality over procedure.
You could say that. He was focused on finding workable solutions, even if it meant bending the rules a little.
So are you saying if Black had his way, every single regulation would be like a custom-made suit, tailored to each specific situation?
Maybe not every single one, but he definitely saw the value in that approach.
But wouldn't that create chaos? I mean, how would people even know what rules to follow?
That's a good question. And it's a tension that still exists today. Think about, well, any number of regulations that are, well, controversial, I guess.
Yeah, like net neutrality or environmental regulations, for example.
Exactly. The question is, do agencies have too much leeway? Can they interpret rules differently depending on, you know, who they're dealing with?
Makes you think twice about those terms and conditions, huh?
You should. Wyman Gordon reminds us that we can't just blindly accept a new regulation, you know?
Right.
We need to ask, how was this made? Was it a transparent process? Did the public have a say? Or was it more of an ad hoc decision like in Wyman Gordon?
That's a really good point. I'm already seeing agency rulemaking in a whole new light.
I think that's the point of this deep dive.
Yeah, this case wasn't just about those union lists, right?
Mm-hmm.
It had implications for how all government agencies operate.
Oh, absolutely. Think about the EPA setting emission standards or OSHA creating workplace safety rules. Wyman Gordon really laid out a framework for how much flexibility those agencies have.
And it's still being debated today, right?
Oh, definitely. It's far from settled.
So can we try to sum up the core issue in Wyman Gordon? I mean, it's complex.
It is complex. But I think the core question is, when it comes to government agencies, does the end justify the means? Can they bend the rules, maybe even break them, if they believe it's for the greater good? And then what does that mean for us, the people who have to live under those rules?
Whoa. Those are some seriously big questions. And I'm guessing there are no easy answers.
You're right. Not easy at all. But Wyman Gordon makes us face those questions.
It does.
It reminds us that the way rules are made, that's just as important as the rules themselves.
I feel like this is already making me rethink how I view government, period.
That's good. That's what we want.
Let's keep digging into those specific arguments and implications of Wyman Gordon. But first, I think we need to take a quick break.
Sounds good. It's amazing how the stuff in Wyman Gordon still matters today, especially when you think about how, well, heated some regulations can get.
Totally. Like when you look at debates around environmental rules or healthcare, I mean, things get intense.
They do. And it always comes down to being for or against the regulation.
Which is kind of missing the point, right?
Exactly. And that's where understanding Wyman Gordon is so important. We can't just focus on whether we like what a regulation does, the outcome, we got to think about how it was made.
You're saying it's not enough to agree with the goal. We have to look at the process.
You got it. Think about it. Imagine there's this regulation, right? Aims to, I don't know, reduce plastic waste, something like that.
Great goal, right?
Right. But what if it was rushed? No public input, skipped all the usual steps.
Like building a house on sand, right? Mm-hmm. Good intentions, but it won't last.
Perfect analogy. And that's why the dissent in Wyman Gordon is so important. It's a reminder that those safeguards, those procedures, aren't just red tape. They actually protect us from regulations that are, well, arbitrary, you know, not well thought out.
So whether we're talking about policies that lean left or right, the question is the same. Was this thing created fairly?
Yeah.
Transparently? Accountably.
Exactly. It cuts through all that partisan stuff, helps us evaluate if a regulation is legit, on its own merits.
And empowers us to, well, hold the government accountable, no matter who's in charge.
You got it.
Sounds like Wyman Gordon, even though it's, what, from the 60s? It still gives us a framework for thinking critically about regulations today.
Absolutely. It's like a legal time capsule, still ticking.
It's still relevant.
Helps us understand how agencies can use their authority for good or maybe not so good.
Right. For good or for, well, not good. But we've been focusing a lot on the dissent, haven't we? On procedure.
We have.
What about those who sided with the NLRB? What convinced them?
It's important to remember, the majority wasn't saying ignore the rules entirely. They just felt, in this case, the NLRB's actions, they were justified.
Okay, so fill me in. What were the key points that swayed them?
Well, the majority, with Justice Fortas leading the way, they acknowledged, yes, the Excelsior rule, it wasn't created through the formal APA process. But They stressed the NLRB's duty, their duty to ensure fair elections.
And the Excelsior rule was their way to do that in their eyes.
Exactly. And they said being too rigid, too stuck on procedure could actually, you know, undermine the whole point of the law.
Okay, so substance over process.
That's a good way to put it. And they had some, well, some pretty strong points to support that idea.
Okay, I'm listening. What were their arguments? Hit me with them.
First, they said, look, this Excelsior rule, it wasn't just some random idea they cooked up. It's based on this long-standing principle of giving unions a fair chance during elections.
Makes sense. So it had roots. It wasn't out of left field.
Exactly. Second, they emphasized the Excelsior rule was, well, pretty narrow, really. It's not like they overhauled labor law entirely.
Targeted fix for a specific problem.
Right. And lastly, they pointed out Wyman Gordon, they hadn't shown any real harm from the rule. No harm, no foul.
So the majority was basically saying, hey, maybe the NLRB could have been more by the book, but in the end, did anyone really get hurt? Not really.
Pretty much. And we can't forget, they weren't giving agencies a free pass. They were just saying, in this specific instance, the NLRB's actions, well, they made sense, even if it wasn't perfectly procedural.
Trying to find that balance, huh, between clear rules and the need for, well, some wiggle room.
Exactly. And that tension, that's at the heart of administrative law, figuring out where to draw that line.
I got to say, this case, it's giving me a real peek behind the curtain. I'm kind of skeptical of anything new coming out of agencies now.
A little skepticism is healthy.
Right.
Wyman Gordon reminds us to ask those tough questions. How is this made? Who wins? Who loses?
Powerful stuff. But okay, we've talked big picture, fairness, transparency, the whole power dynamic. But what about the real world impact? How did Wyman Gordon actually change how agencies operate? Like, practically.
One big impact, I think, it gave agencies more tools.
More tools?
Yeah. It legitimized adjudication, making policy through individual case decisions.
So instead of that long, drawn-out rulemaking process, they could just make a ruling in one case, and boom, that sets a precedent. Sounds like a shortcut.
It can be. Gives agencies a lot of flexibility. But remember what we said. Flexibility can be a double-edged sword.
That slippery slope Douglas was warning us about. So how do we make sure agencies aren't just, like, winging it all the time, making things up as they go along?
That's where the courts step in. Wyman Gordon didn't give agencies a blank check. Their actions still have to be reasonable, necessary, and, you know, within their legal power.
So the courts are like the referees, making sure everyone's playing fair.
Exactly. And that oversight is crucial. It protects individual rights and makes sure the whole regulatory process, well, it has integrity.
It's all starting to feel like a chess match. You've got the agencies, the courts, the public, all trying to make their move.
Love that analogy. And Wyman Gordon. It was a big move, shifting the whole board, creating new possibilities.
This deep dive is showing me how important it is to understand not just the regulation itself, but the whole process behind it.
Couldn't agree more. Wyman Gordon gives us a framework for analyzing that process and making sure it's fair, transparent, accountable.
I feel like we've learned a lot. Really unpacked this case. We've covered history, arguments, dissenting opinions, even real-world consequences. But before we wrap up, there's one more thing about Wyman Gordon that I'm, well, kind of fascinated by. We've been talking about how Wyman Gordon changed the game for agencies, but what about for, you know, actual lawyers? How did this case impact those who work with all this regulatory stuff?
I think Wyman Gordon really gave those lawyers a new set of tools, like a whole new playbook. Mm-hmm. Strategies for defending clients against rules they don't like.
Oh, interesting.
And even ways to shape new regulations to their advantage, you know?
So, like, what are some key takeaways? Things lawyers keep in mind, thanks to Wyman Gordon.
Well, the biggest thing, you got to understand not just what a rule says, but how W it came to be.
Okay.
Lawyers now, they got to be detectives.
Detectives.
Tracing the origins of a regulation, getting inside the agency's head, so to speak.
So they're looking for those little slip-ups, the moments where an agency might have, I don't know, overstepped or cut corners.
Bingo. And Wyman Gordon basically gave them the ammo to challenge those regulations.
Wow.
If they can prove an agency didn't follow the rules in making the regulation, well, they can try to get it thrown out.
That's a lot of power, huh? Sounds like even a tiny mistake could really change things.
Absolutely. But it's not just about finding the errors. It's about showing how those errors actually hurt their clients.
Okay, so it's not enough to just say, hey, you messed up the paperwork. They got to prove there were real consequences.
Exactly. And those dissenting opinions, they provide a lot of support for those arguments, highlighting the dangers of ignoring all those safeguards.
So Wyman Gordon, it's not just some abstract legal thing. It's actually a tool lawyers use to fight for their clients and hold agencies accountable.
You got it. And it just keeps getting more important, you know, as regulations grow and agencies have more and more influence.
Definitely makes you appreciate the complexity of all this, doesn't it? This whole back and forth.
Totally. Shows how interconnected our legal system is, how a case from, what, 50 years ago can still matter today.
Well, before we wrap up, anything else our listeners should remember about Wyman Gordon? Any final thoughts?
Don't just take regulations at face value. Ask questions. Dig deep. Figure out how they were made, who they really help, who they might hurt. That's what Wyman Gordon allows us to do.
Fantastic advice. I think that about covers our deep dive
into
NLRB v. Wyman Gordon. Thanks for joining us on this journey.
My pleasure. Always a great discussion.
And don't forget, we've got all those sources we talked about linked in the show notes. So until next time, stay curious and keep on diving deep.